going to, the next two Sundays, we will not be able to be in the book of Hosea. We were not in it the previous 2 weeks, and it's going to get to the point where it's so sketchy because we're missing so many weeks between that it's not going to have, I think, the impact. So I'm going to wait till the end of April to go back into it so it'll be effective. I have about an hour's worth of material that I wanted to share tonight, and with the meeting, that's not right to do. So I want you to turn to John chapter 12. And I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. We just go to John chapter 12. And this is Palm Sunday. It is the day that we recognize that all those years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem, descended from the Mount of Olives toward the city gate on that young colt, and there he heard the praises of men. And we'll pick up in verse 12. John chapter 12 and verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And I just pause here for a minute. Maybe, at least for me personally, I guess to me his greatest miracle, other than his own resurrection, is raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and you know the Jewish custom still true today, they do not embalm the body. They normally bury the same day. This body had decayed. This body was deteriorating until the voice of God spoke to it. There's going to come a day where the voice of God speaks to other bodies. It might be my body, it might be yours. And when God's voice speaks, the decay will go away. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This vile body will be made like his glorious body. That is amazing. And you see a little prelude to that with Lazarus, this man who had been dead for 4 days. Now, what's so interesting about this miracle was the fact that it was done just a little piece, as they say, a stone's throw from Jerusalem. And many people who knew, apparently Martha and Mary and Lazarus was a very well-known family. They were friends, literally friends of Jesus during his earthly ministry, and were very well-known in the city of Jerusalem. And so many Jews from the city would go down during those days just to try to comfort Mary and Martha in the loss of their brother. And they stood there. I think a large group of people stood there when Jesus Christ lifted up his voice, and after he had prayed, says, Lazarus, come forth. And I don't think he had to yell. And then that body, still wrapped in its grave clothes, comes hopping out, bounding out, and everybody is stunned because he finally had to say, well, somebody loose him and let him go. Take the grave clothes off, man. He's going to smother in there. I already raised him once. Don't want to raise him again. They had seen this great miracle, and the Bible indicates that a bunch of those people made their way right back to Jerusalem and started spreading the news. You know what? We've heard about that widow woman's son at Nain. We have heard about him feeding the thousands there in Galilee. We've heard all these things, but now my eyes have seen. I saw him raise him from the dead. And that spread like wildfire. And the thing that the Jews had hoped for in their eyes was coming true, that he was going to take the throne and overthrow the Roman government and set up an everlasting kingdom that the Old Testament prophesied. They were just a couple thousand years early on that one. But that day is coming. The day is coming when he will come back, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced. They'll mourn, And after that season of mourning, they'll rejoice because Jesus Christ will come into the city again and sit upon the throne, and he'll rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. That day's coming. That day's coming. But they thought it was this day, the day we call Palm Sunday. And it goes on to say in verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said unto themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." And what we just saw a moment ago with Life of David Livingston, and what we saw last week with Adoniram Judson, both of these men, highly educated, both of these men could have made it big in the world. But you know what they did? Like the corn of wheat that fell into the ground, they died to themselves. That's what God wants of me. And that's what God wants of you. He said, if you'll learn to hate your life, if you'll learn to quit loving your life so much that everything has to be about your own personal satisfaction, your own personal comfort, your own personal desires. He said, if you'll learn to lose your life, basically hate your life, he said, I'll change your life forever. What about the contemporaries of Judson and Livingston? Men and women who heard the very same things they heard, that went on to make a career for their lives, went on to live comfortable lives, went on to have success in the world. Do you remember them? No. But even a lost world knows the line, Livingston, I presume? That's a famous saying, even among the lost. That's from a life of a missionary who gave everything. You know why Livingston gave everything? You know why Adoniram Judson gave everything? You know why Jim Elliot, who died at the hand of the Aka Indians with Nate Saint and those other men, you know why they gave everything? Because there is an example, his name was Jesus, who gave everything. Gave everything. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Two thoughts on this. Number one, he said, where I am, there will my servant be. Listen. Not everybody is sent to Africa. Not everybody is sent to Burma. Not everybody is sent to see their bodies broken and riddled with disease. There are famous women and famous men who seem to have been extremely blessed with opportunities to serve the Lord without having to ever suffer physically, without ever watching their children or their wives or their husbands die. Blessed, earthly wise. And you look at the life of Jesus, his life was not always a battle. There were joyous moments. There were moments of great success. I mean, let's be honest. At the moment he rode from Mount Olivet into the entrance of the city of Jerusalem, that was pretty cool. I mean, You think about that. People are taking their coats and throwing them in the way, and taking palm branches and throwing them in the way, and they're saying, "Oh, Hosanna, oh, save us. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You are the Son of David. You are the King of Israel." That was a pretty good moment. It was just a little bit too early. They'll do it again. It was just a little bit too early. I'm just simply saying there were moments in the life of Christ that were blessed. Moments in the life of Christ where he laughed. Moments in the life of Christ where he was able to stay in a nice house like Lazarus' home with his friends. And even though he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head," there were times where he was blessed. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I'm not saying that in order for you to really live for God and to sell yourself out means your life has to be ruined. As in our mentality, I think that's the way we think. You know, if I serve Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen. My life is going to be ruined. You say, why would you say that? Because that's the way I thought when I was those guys' age. I did. I used to hear missionaries come in, and my heart said, I ain't never going there. I did. I'm ashamed of that. That's what I said. I'm never going to get in ministry. No, sir. That's the way we tend to think. But when you hear about a man like this, you realize, even in the midst of his pain and suffering, he was exactly where God wanted him to be, and that's exactly where he wanted to be. That's where he wanted to be. I wonder what kind of crowns he'll win. I wonder how many crowns he'll have to cast back at Jesus' feet. You know what? The Bible says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh forth a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Whatever we go through now, whatever Livingston went through back in his lifetime, whatever Judson went through, whatever some of these other have gone through in their sufferings, when they stand before Jesus Christ, you know what they're going to say? It was nothing. It really was nothing. It was just a moment in the spectrum of eternity. And the same will be true for those who did not sell themselves out, who were not willing to suffer, who live lives of comfort. They'll say the same thing. It was just a moment in the spectrum of eternity, and I wasted it. And now I stand before my Savior, and I cast nothing back at his feet. Livingston, Judson, Hudson, Taylor, on and on we go. We think about these great missionaries, will stand before their Savior and cast their crowns at his feet. Will I? Will I cast crowns at his feet? Am I willing to sell myself out? The example we have is Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday, knowing full well what waited him. Now, Livingston did not know what waited him in Africa, nor did Judson when he went to Burma. But Jesus Christ did know. And he did it anyway. He does give this at the end of verse 26. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll sell yourself out, guess what? The world will not honor you, but my Father will. Would you rather have the praise of men or the praise of God? Would you rather have the honor of this world or the honor of Almighty God? Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Here's the bottom line, I believe, as we look and think about Palm Sunday and we translate that into what we've seen these last weeks with these missionaries and these things we've seen on Sunday nights. The goal of a person who loves Jesus Christ is to glorify their Father. No matter the cost. God, whatever it takes, your name be glorified. He's worthy of honor and power and glory. He's created us for his pleasure. He is worthy to receive those things. And he said, listen, I know what I'm going toward. I know it's going to happen to me in about 4 days. My soul is troubled. I know I'm going to die. It's going to be a brutal death. You remember when Evangelist Tozer was here and read some of the parts of the book from what's the guy's name? The Case for Christ. Is it Lee Strobel? You know, he read those medical type conditions, and I tell you what, I'd never heard that before until a few months ago, and it almost turned my stomach. And Jesus knew exactly what he was going to go through on Calvary. He said, my soul is troubled. I realize what I'm going into, but you know what? Am I going to cut and run? No, he says, Father, I'm not asking you to save me from this hour, because this is the reason I came. I've come to glorify you. And this, if this is the way that I can glorify you by laying my life down, then I'm willing. Now, we understand in this day and age, when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus, for the American culture, even for American missionaries, the call to lay our lives down rarely happens. Once in a while, but rarely happens. The cost that most of us in our culture are called on to give up isn't near the price of what some of our brethren around the world are having to give up. But there should be a willingness to. God, whatever you want. God, here's my life. Do with it as you choose. If you would choose to take my life, fine. God, if you just want me to live out and find your blessings in it, fine. God, whatever you want. But God, I just want to glorify your name. And that was the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ on that Palm Sunday. That was his desire. As I said this morning, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and he did exactly that. He came to fulfill his Father's will. He did exactly that. He went to Calvary and paid the price. In verse 28, you hear the words that God speaks back to his Son. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is judgment come into this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And ultimately, when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, excuse me, he fulfilled God's purpose and got the victory, and the enemy was defeated. For you and me, if we choose to follow Christ, as the example is set here, on what we call Palm Sunday, guess what? You follow Christ, and this was true in the life of Livingston, the life of Judson, the life of any believer who sells himself out, the enemy is defeated. And Christ's purposes are fulfilled, and God gets the glory. I just ask you on this Palm Sunday tonight, are you willing to sell yourself out? Are you willing to lay your life down? Not necessarily in death, but just say, I lay my life down for you, God, to do whatever you want. Just use me. If it's like a Livingston, okay, God. If it's to be blessed with notoriety like a Dwight L. Moody or a Charles Spurgeon, or a Billy Sunday, that's good too. But God, whatever you want, whatever will bring you greatest glory, God, I'm willing to be used. But God, I choose at this moment to lay my life down and give it to you in total surrender. Is that our heart? Is that our heart? Let's bow our heads for prayer. We'll stand together with our heads bowed.